wasted life. That's why my hope is built on nothing less but Jesus.
Search what God says about the issues, where the candidates stand on the issues, and vote it according to biblical values. Now we need to trust God and pray that His kingdom would come, that His will would be done on earth as it is in heaven, and allow God to work through you to help make this happen. Join me in praying for our cities, counties, states, and nation.
Welcome to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. And now for today's message, here's Associate Pastor Brian Longworth.
We are continuing our sermon series, What Role Should the Government Play in Natural Disaster Relief? And this is in the wake of Hurricane Ian, when we saw massive damage being done over there, and a call to the federal government to intervene and to actually provide assistance for people. And this happens so often that it's commonplace. People don't even question. People don't even think. But really, we need to be asking ourselves, what does the Bible say? Does the Bible say that government, because God created government, government was founded based on God's word. God is the one, and His word speaks to every area of life, including government, including our local government, our state government, our federal government. Our founding fathers got that idea from the Bible, actually. So it's important that we look at the Bible and ask questions about this, and we have done this. And some of the things that we have found as we looked at the Bible is that, first of all, God never, neither in the Old Testament nor in the New Testament, authorizes government to take money from some and give it to others, or to take money from everyone and give it to a small portion. There's only actually one example of the government actually intervening to save lives. And that was with the seven plentiful years in Egypt, followed by the 7 years of famine. We know that Joseph oversaw those plentiful years and the lean years as well. That actually was something where everyone contributed, and everyone actually received the grain actually by paying for it with their money. And when their money ran out, they gave their cattle. When their cattle ran out, they gave their land. And people that were free before that, even though the wisest person, someone that was godly, was running that government program, it still ended up in the enslavement of the Egyptians. And a very, very interesting story there. But that's really the only example that you'll see where God actually authorizes the government to be involved, and it wasn't just taking money from some and giving it to others, or taking money from everyone and giving it to a select few. It was actually everyone was treated equally, which is really what the Bible says. We also showed that the law of God is applicable today, and it's applicable not only to individuals but also to nations, and that God blesses not only individuals for obedience to Him, but He also blesses nations. He not only does God curse nations or individuals, He also curses nations for disobedience. So we're going to look today and ask the question, has America sinned to the point of deserving God's wrath and God's judgment? And I want to turn your attention into a passage that we've gone over multiple times, and this is from Leviticus chapters 18 and 20. We'll read actually a portion of Leviticus 18, but here in these passages, God shows the children of Israel the sins of the land of Canaan that led to their expulsion and led to God actually driving them out And the Bible actually says that because of these sins, not only was God against the people of Canaan, but actually the land itself was rebelling against them and vomiting them forth. And in Leviticus chapter 18, verse 24, we read, "Do not defile yourself by any of these things, for by it, all these the nations are defiled, which I am casting out before you. For the land is defiled, therefore I visit the punishment of its iniquity upon it, and the land vomits out its inhabitants. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, and shall not commit any of these abominations, either any of your own nation or any stranger who dwells among you, for all these abominations the men of the land have done who were before you, and thus the land is defiled, lest the land vomit you out also when you defile it, as it vomits out the nations who were before you. For whoever commits any of these abominations, the person who commits them shall be cut off from among their people. Therefore, you shall keep my ordinances, so that you do not commit any of these abominable customs which were committed before you, and that you do not defile yourself by them. I am the Lord your God." And here we see that there are certain sins that that actually defile and pollute the land and make it so that creation itself groans with birth pangs, and actually creation rebels, and the visual verbiage here is that the land vomits forth the inhabitants. One of the things that you read when you read about the children of Israel going into the promised land is you'll read that God actually sent hornets to drive the people out. But also, you know, here the land vomiting forth the inhabitants, I mean, you can imagine all kinds of natural disasters happening that would drive people out from that area. And those sins that are talked about in Leviticus chapters 18 and 20 are largely sexual sins. Definitely there's a lot of incestual relations. There's adultery. There's homosexuality and bestiality. And also child sacrifice, passing your sons and your daughters through the fire. Now we're going to look, and we'll talk more from the Bible, but we're going to look at the sins of America. And really, at America, one of the root of the sins and the cultural demise that we see in this country today can be traced back to removing the idea that God created the heavens and the earth. That is a biblical idea and something that we should all believe, and our kids should believe and should be taught. But in school, they're being taught that all of this that we see happened by chance, by random occurrence in genetic mutation. In fact, we're even told that everything that we see happened out of nothing. There was a bunch of nothing, and then there was an explosion, and matter came into existence somehow, and somehow the worlds were created, and the earth was created, and the atmosphere was created, the stars and the sun and the moon and all the other planets were somehow created out of nothing by this explosion. And then through millions of years, you had evolution that happened, where you had an amoeba, and the amoeba eventually became a fish, and the fish eventually came up on land and started walking and became a monkey, and then that monkey was your daddy. Well, that's not the way it happened. It's really impossible for something to happen out of nothing. And the more scientists understand about the complexity of the universe and the complexity of our planet and the complexity even of the simplest cells in our body, the less likely it is that they can believe that all of this happened by nothing. And even many who don't believe in God, many scientists who don't believe in God are coming to the conclusion that there was something, some force, some being, some individual or group of individuals that was involved in creating this universe and creating you and I. And we believe, and we should believe, that that is God. And really, when we take that out of our belief system, we then, you know, if you believe in God, you are then subject to his commandments. He is the sovereign, and you need to bow before him. But if all this happened by random occurrence and chance, then well, we're not beholden to a God, and every man can do what is right in his own eyes. In 1962, in Engle versus Vattel, the U.S. Supreme Court removed prayer from public schools. In 1963, in Abington versus Shimp, the court removed the Bible from education of children in public schools. Now, by the way, public schools in America came about by the Puritans, who founded public schools for the purpose of teaching kids how to read so that they could read the Bible. And the Bible was a part, and in fact, it was the primary reading book in schools from at that time, and at the time of the foundation of this country, where we actually had the Constitution passed, and really the founding fathers at their time, the kids were reading the Bible. Another book that they read was the New England Primer, which actually taught biblical principles. So the Bible was a key part of education, and certainly it wasn't maybe in the 1960s as prominent as it was in Puritan New England, but it still was there, and it was there from the founding of the country. If it was unconstitutional, don't you think that the founders would have removed it? Don't you think that they would have either amended the Constitution or changed the verbiage of the Constitution or gotten rid of the Bible in public schools and prayer in public schools? No, they didn't, because they believed that it was necessary for a people, for this nation, to obey God and to keep his commandments and his covenant. In the 1960s also, we saw in this nation the sexual revolution, this casting off of restraint, and the idea that you can do whatever you want to with whomever you want to do it, whenever you want to, without consequences. And we have seen since that time a propagation of pornography, and to the point now where you don't, a kid doesn't even, when I was growing up, you had to find a magazine or a movie, a video. Today, all you have to do is turn on your computer. And if you mistype a certain website address, you might get to a place that shows images that really we are not designed to see. We should not be lusting after other women, women that we're not married to. There's a continuous, in our culture, continuous pushing of more and more indiscretion, and pushing the envelope and moving this further and further. And I mentioned earlier that with the sexual revolution, there was this idea that you could do whatever you wanted to do with whomever you wanted to do it without consequences. But that wasn't exactly accurate, because there are consequences to sex, and very often some of those consequences are children. And to deal with this problem of children, and also another driver for abortion was also a eugenics program to actually exterminate what Margaret Sanger, and the founder of Planned Parenthood, called human weeds. And even at the highest levels of the U.S. government, including President Nixon and his administration, and he, by the way, appointed many of the justices that ruled in the Roe versus Wade decision that effectively legalized abortion, even though even though the courts should not be able to legalize abortion, and they should not pass law, they're not the legislature, they're merely courts, still we allowed it to happen. And what actually we saw, though, prior to Roe versus Wade, in 1967, three states legalized abortion. They were California, Colorado, and North Carolina. Mothers all across this nation from that point on could travel to those states and have an abortion. In 1970, four more states, including New York, also legalized abortion. And prior to, or by the Roe v. Wade decision of 1973, January of 1973, actually 1.25 million preborn babies had been legally killed in the United States of America by abortion. And of course, in 1973, the Roe v. Wade and Doe v. Bolton were passed by the U.S. Supreme Court that declared that we don't know whether a preborn child is a person, so it should be legal to kill this baby. And one of the things that we have seen out of that is we have seen now the blood of 67 million preborn children has been shed by abortion. We also saw in 1980 in Stone versus Graham, the U.S. Supreme Court, which has the Ten Commandments engraved on its doors and actually above where the justices sit, removed the Ten Commandments from public schools. Why? Because children might look on the Ten Commandments and actually venerate them and obey them. And wouldn't that be horrible if children respected authority, if they didn't kill other people, if they didn't lie, if they didn't steal? Wouldn't this be terrible? Obviously, I'm being facetious there, but we should realize that this was a bad decision and one that needs to be thrown out. We also see in 2003 in Lawrence versus Texas, the U.S. Supreme Court expanded the right of privacy that they created. It's not in the Constitution, but the right to privacy that they created, they expanded that to include homosexuality. And then in Massachusetts in 2003, actually a Supreme Court case, the Supreme Court of Massachusetts ruled that homosexuality should be legal and ordered the legislature to enact legislation to legalize homosexual marriage. They got together, they convened, they tried to come up with legislation, and just it was too hot of a potato. They didn't want to deal with it. So what happened was Republican Governor Romney, Mitt Romney, actually issued an executive order that men can marry men and women can marry women, further departing from God's standard that one man should leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and that the two should become one. That we know that also the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that the state marriage amendments passed by even some of the most liberal states in the nation, including California and Hawaii, actually were unconstitutional, and that men should be able to marry men and women should be able to marry women. Today, we're not even dealing with that. We're also dealing with transgenderism and transgender bathrooms, where a man, a boy in school, can actually identify as a woman, be on the girls' swim team, and go into the girls' locker room and be a part of what goes on there. Obviously, there's undressing, there's showering, there's changing of clothes, and none of this should, all of this is lunacy, and it's departing from God's standards, from God's precepts. And when you depart from God's precepts, from the Word of God, really, who can say what is right and what is wrong? This is what happens when we take God out of society, when we take the Word of God out of society, when we take the Bible out of society. We also have seen continued funding. In the state of Florida, there's partial funding of Planned Parenthood, this racist organization, the leading killer of innocent human life in, in the womb. And nationally, Congress, even when Republicans were in charge, still funded Planned Parenthood. President Trump, even when he was president, still signed the budgets that funded Planned Parenthood. And the leading killer of innocent human life in our nation and in the world. And the President Biden and his administration have even said that the Veterans Administration will perform abortions even in states where abortion is illegal. Because of the Dobbs decision, the life has been returned to the states, and certainly that's better than what it was before, because some states have outlawed abortion. But Biden is saying, we're going to perform abortions, we're going to kill babies, even in those states where it's illegal to do so. We have seen in this nation a breakdown of families. We have seen, and we have actually served God in name, but really worshiped money and prosperity. We have seen God's name being taken in vain, to the point where most Christians commonly say, oh my God, or even in posts on social media, OMG, which stands for oh my God, which is a violation of the Ten Commandments. We need to get real and get serious about obeying God. We don't honor the Sabbath anymore, or our father and mother. We have seen murders, stealing, bearing false witness, and lawlessness happening in our culture. We have actually seen all kinds of deviation from God's standard and from God's precepts. And the church is not exempt from these sins. When you look at the percentage of women who have abortions, actually two-thirds of them claim to be Christians. They name the name of Jesus, but don't live the life that Jesus has told them to live. And certainly the abortion is a means of covering up their promiscuous activity. Whether it's adultery, whether it's fornication, they are covering up for what they have done and the acts that they have committed. But God wants us to actually obey Him. He wants us to value human life. And one of the things that we need to realize when we look at this, that the blood of these children, these innocent children, about 67 million preborn children have been killed by abortion. And if you don't know yet, abortion is still happening in this nation, not in every state, but it's still happening in this nation. It's still happening in the state of Florida, despite having a Republican governor who is viewed as pro-life, despite having a Republican House and a Republican Senate that are viewed as being pro-life. The state of Florida is actually an abortion destination right now. Women who are in surrounding states that can't have an abortion are traveling to Florida. And those abortion mills in Pensacola and Jacksonville and Orlando and Miami and Fort Lauderdale and West Palm Beach and others throughout this state are having women from other states come to our state to actually kill their preborn children, to actually have them their blood shed. The Bible says when Cain killed Abel, that the blood of Abel cried to the ground for vengeance. Now imagine, in this nation, we have the blood of 67 million innocent preborn children. Children that didn't deserve death, that didn't deserve to die. We have the blood of over 67 million preborn children crying from the ground for vengeance. When innocent blood was shed, and this is still the way it is, but in ancient Israel, under their judicial code, you can read about this in Deuteronomy chapter 21, verses 1 through 9. when innocent blood was shed, the elders of the city had to be able to come together and say two things. One, our hands have not shed this blood, because if our hands did shed the blood, they should actually be tried, and if convicted, they should be executed. But if their hands didn't shed the blood, they also had to not know it was going on. They couldn't just know it was going on and look the other way. To cleanse the land, they actually had to make a sacrifice and say and pray, our hands have not shed this blood, nor did we know that this was happening. We know also that it is appropriate to pray not only and repent not only of our own sins, but also the sins of our nation. You can read in Daniel chapter 9 where Daniel did just that. A righteous man prayed that God would move and would forgive not only himself, but also his nation. Then we come to really one of, probably in my opinion, the most scary verse or passage in the Bible, and that's from 2 Kings chapter 24, verses 2 through 4. We read that Manasseh had shed innocent blood, the blood of their sons and daughters in Israel. And the Lord, even though later on, generations later, Josiah had led repentance, revival, and reformation, and it actually put to death the priest of Baal who were shedding this blood. And even with all of that, the Lord would not forgive, and actually the Lord brought his judgment upon the nation of Israel. We in this nation have sinned. We have violated God's commandments, and we need to repent of our sins and cry out to God for forgiveness. And if we don't, we have judgment awaiting us. We have wrath awaiting us. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.
You've been listening to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Join us each Sunday morning for The Lighthouse. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, visit www.covenanttabernacle.com, where you can give us feedback and make a donation.
The election is over. Hopefully you research what God says about the issues, where the candidates stand on the issues, and voted according to biblical values. Now we need to trust God and pray that his kingdom would come, that his will would be done on earth as it is in heaven, and allow God to work through you to help make this happen. Join me in praying for our cities, counties, states, and nation.
Many men will hear you speak, they will never turn around. But I will not forget you, are my God, my King. With a thankful heart I bring my offering, and my sacrifices, not what you can give, but what I alone can.